2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
You know what you are?
What?
You're difficult. Really difficult.
You're
a difficult man.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
This is why I could never be a teacher. This is hard stuff.
Yeah, that and you barely graduated college.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. I got Andy Farnsworth here with me. Alex Carey's away from the evening. And Andy, I wanted to hit a couple of text messages. A few people have weighed in on our recent topics.
Okay.
So on the temperature checks, workplace temperature checks, this person texted in. I'm an employee at Walmart, and they do temperature checks every day. Been doing that for well over a month nationwide. All right. That's okay. Good to know. And then on the issue of coronavirus bringing a little more equality into marriages in terms of household chores, this texter actually is sharing the solution that they use in his family.
Okay.
As far as the chores discussion in the beginning of tonight's show, one strategy that's really helped my marriage is a 50-50 split while we're at home. When I'm at work and when my wife is at home, we're giving all 100% of our energy. When we're both together, we're both sharing a 50-50 split to get chores done. If home chores is less work or the same as my work, I come home and we're both done. If chores that day is taking longer, well, now I'm home to help her carry the load. We both get done faster and now spend time together.
That's cool.
I liked that. So,
but if he is taking a long time at work, does she come to work and help him with that?
See, men are always so disrespected.
We've got to get this exactly right. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I think that's really cool. He says it makes his wife feel appreciated that she has a reliable partner, and it makes him feel like a good husband because they're working as a team. And I agree with that 100%.
I think it's a great way to look at it. And then someone else on the monkey stealing the blood to weaponize it, we assume. Guys, that is Planet of the Apes stuff right there.
I think they're going to come up with a cure and then sell it to humanity for billions of dollars, and then the apes will truly rule.
No, man. They're going to weaponize it. Kill us all.
Weaponize it. We are immune. You are
not. You didn't see the movie.
Wait.
They're not trying to collaborate. They're not trying to collaborate.
The new one or the old one?
Any of them, man.
Have you seen them? I actually liked the most recent one, the War for the Planet of the Apes, I think. That was a really good one.
All right. If you're thinking about going out and getting in on some theme park action,
yeah, we talked about Lagoon opening up this week.
Yeah.
I suggested that Farmington High have their graduation on the Colossus roller coaster, getting their diplomas handed to them at the top of the peak before they go down into the loop. But one of the fun things about riding Colossus, Ethan, and any roller coaster, really, is when you get that feeling in your stomach on the drop, what do?
You scream.
You do. You
or
scream.
Vomit. Alternately,
you
scream and vomit. So do you scream? Because here's the deal. Here's where we're going with this.
But I tend to laugh. Like, if it's a really good ride, I will laugh, like, really loud.
Yeah. I'll laugh, too.
But it's the equivalent of screaming.
In Japan... reopening these theme parks, and Japan has some astonishing theme parks.
They have one that goes, a roller coaster that shoots through a mountain.
For the most part, everyone's being required to wear a mask, which is kind of par for course these days.
Right.
But they've also recommended, and they're also asking guests to avoid shouting or cheering on the outdoor attractions, including roller coasters, basically saying, keep your fool mouth shut. And
keep your fool mouth shut. They say that in as many words. That's what the sign in Japanese translates into.
That's right. And I think some people will not be able to do that.
No, it's impossible.
But I think that
if you're already wearing a mask, are you supposed to take the mask off for the ride? That's the question.
No, you leave the mask on for the ride.
Then who cares if you scream?
Well, obviously Japan does. Because you're still, look, I don't know, man. Just don't scream. The rule is don't scream.
Okay, so you can use a combination.
My only thought
this is...
This is
the advice for staff, says, as a new style of customer service, even when you're wearing a mask, you can use a combination of smiley eyes, hand gestures, etc. to communicate with visitors. The etc. would be widely interpreted here in the United States to mean a lot of things.
Hand gestures, etc. Yeah. No, you're right.
Etc. hand gestures.
But I also think it's that it would be weird to go to an amusement park that didn't have screaming. I mean, what if you stood there and you were watching Colossus? You were watching the fire dragon there.
That's part of the fun when you're walking into the park.
Oh, dropping down that big drop. And then the loops. And it was dead silent.
I think
all you could hear
eerie.
Was a roller coaster. But there was no screaming. There was no yelling. There was no none of that.
Honestly.
It'd be weird. True. It'd be like a bunch of dead bodies on there.
Yeah, that's a great thought right as you're walking into an amusement park.
It's like they took a bunch of dead bodies and put the little harnesses over the top of them and then ran them through.
I prefer crash test dummies. Not dead
or
bodies.
Or crash test dummies. I'll tell you what.
To dead bodies on a roller coaster. Half the fun, I'm going to be honest, walking into the you park your car in the parking lot. It's 105 degrees outside. You're already sweating as you walk just to go up to the ticket booth. But you hear those people screaming on the rides as they're going around. That's part of the fun of
fantastic.
The amusement park.
Oh, I
think
agree.
It would be. I think it would
fantastic.
Make it sound weird.
It would sound weird. It would be weirder. So not hearing the screams would be weirder than not screaming. Now, I'll tell you what. My two sons actually are not big fans of the Fire Dragon, Colossus Fire Dragon. And I'll tell you why. It's because the first time they ever rode it, this happened to each of them. They didn't ride it the first time in the same year, you know, because they're staggered a little bit.
Right.
A couple years apart. But they had that thing happen to them. Maybe you remember this from when you were a kid. But if you don't kind of keep your chin up and your head back, the G-forces can kind of force your head down towards
yes,
your knees.
Yes, it did do that to me when I was
And
young.
With both my sons, that ride just folded them in half.
Aww.
And they couldn't sit up.
And couldn't see the cool part of being upside
down. They couldn't sit all.
It took me 2 years before I could.
I looked over and all I saw was their neck folded completely down, and I could tell they were trying to sit back up, but there was no way. There was no way. And they were both like, I don't see what the big deal is about that ride.
The first year it opened, there was a commercial, if you survive Colossus, you'll never be the same. And then I was like, oh, I am so riding that. And we got there and I saw that first hill. We weren't even in line. I was like, I am not riding that this year.
There's no
so
way.
It took me a couple of years before I got up the courage. Ethan, since we're talking about travel, I did want one other thing. And this actually relates to something that we talked about earlier in the week. What do you do if you decided to, you made plans back in the middle of the winter that you're going to vacation in the Hamptons? And you've rented out a house in the Hamptons for George Costanza and his friends to come by and visit you. And then coronavirus happens. And then you find out that you can't evict renters during coronavirus. So there's some squatters who are squatting at Hamptons Mansions who cannot be evicted because of New York State law that says during this pandemic you cannot evict a renter. So a poor landlord, she's out $15,000 in rent and utilities. And not only that, they're trashing the house, Ethan.
Yeah, well,
and the police
she says,
are helpless.
Yeah, she says they're trashing the house. Who knows if they are? She's obviously not been in there.
Oh, there's video, Ethan.
And the and
if she has to trash the house herself to show that they
she's
going to
prove it. So, I don't know. It's I'm not surprised that there would be rules against evictions during coronavirus. And I'm not surprised that there would be some people who would use them to their advantage in dishonest ways. Cuz squatting like this is dishonest. Right?
It is.
And I saw the video of these people. You know, these squatters rolled up in some expensive cars. They're just refusing to pay. It's not like these aren't.
They're like, hey, we can save some money.
Yeah,
and
this isn't a homeless
home. Well, and some of it's two people who fled New York City.
This isn't a homeless family. This isn't a homeless family who jimmied the lock on a house to get out of the weather.
These
people probably made a down payment. They probably passed a credit check or something like that to be able to rent this house
for 15 grand.
Now they're just refusing to pay, which is kind of a different thing, a different dynamic. So, I mean, but obviously they're refusing to pay. That's dishonest.
But you don't feel too bad for the renter, though.
Well, I don't know. I mean, how many landlords in the Hamptons who, you know, got tens of millions of dollars in property? are they giving Rod Deal? Yes.
Yeah.
Do they deserve their money? Yes. Am I going to really feel like lose sleep over this? No. Because they've got the money for lawyers and they'll be able to, you know, figure it all out.
I got
to
say, though, that's one heck of a loophole that they found.
It's a heck of a loophole. I'm going to reserve my sympathy for, like, the retired couple who's renting out their basement and has this kind of trouble. That's who I'm going to reserve my sympathy for, you know?
If you're going to squat in the Hamptons. That's all I can say.
That's right.
Check in traffic coming up when we return for the final segment of this hour of Nightside Burger Wars.
Oh, yeah.
On the Nightside Project. KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.